reminder, Barack Obama is no longer a presidential option. Those who love him will have to accept his departure from the Oval Office and make a selection from the available candidates. Now, some of these Obama voters are very likely to be Trump voters going forward. So the big question is, can Donald Trump make America great again? As we come closer to the 2016 election, more and more Americans are beginning to believe this. Today's show is, in effect, a replay of a show that I did back in August of 2015, where I had a panel of registered Republican voters, and we did an early weigh-in on this very question, can Donald Trump make America great again? And this was before Donald Trump was as popular an option as he is today. In other words, we were a bunch of the early adopters of this idea. So in retrospect, it is very interesting to note that some of us did recognize this early, that of all the possible options available at the time, and back then there were way more options than there are today, that Donald Trump back then we thought was the best choice from those available. So now at the time of this replay, hold on a second here, the time of this replay, is that still the question? So some of the candidates that, like I said, this is going to be a replay of that show. And in that show, we may mention some candidates that are no longer available. They may have already dropped out of the race. However, the content of that show as it pertains to Trump is worthy of revisiting because as we speak, the RNC is fighting what appears to be the inevitable decision of selecting Donald Trump as their nominee for the Republican ticket. That verdict is still out. So we wait to see. Now, while this is going to be a replay, I do have Joe Villanueva from that panel. He is on with me today, and let me just patch him in here. Joe, are you on?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Trudy.
Good morning. Hey, just a quick question before I replay that show. If you remember what we shared, do you still feel today that Trump is the best candidate of those available? Because, you know, it doesn't matter how people feel. At the end of the day, we can only select from who is put forward as nominees available. So of those that look like they're still on the ticket, do you still believe that Donald Trump is the best candidate to make America great again?
Absolutely. And the numbers back that up. He proves to me and to others that he is the guy that can fix our problems. The economic problems that we have, the unemployment, and the jobs that we lost to other countries, he is the guy. And the populace say so because, the majority of the voters that had already voted said so. So, you know, we believe that he's the guy because he has the experience to fix the financial debacle that we have. He is the man. Absolutely.
Well, the more he presses forward and gains all this popularity, the more haters are coming out. And what I find interesting is the argument from the evangelicals or those who are speaking for the evangelicals and wondering why the evangelicals are siding with him. But, you know, it really doesn't matter what people think. Of all the candidates that have been in the past that are currently on the ticket, he is the only one that has publicly declared that he will stand behind the Christian community. All the others, you just assume where they are. We have a current president that is very sympathetic to the Muslim position. But Donald Trump has publicly declared that he will stand with the evangelicals, with the Christian community, support them, support lobbying of their wishes, and regardless of whether, I'm not going to get into the argument of whether he's Christian, he's not Christian, he's not fake, I don't care. As far as I'm personally concerned, all the available options, I still also believe he's not perfect, but he is the best option, especially if nothing else, because he stands behind and supports the Christian agenda, and that is huge for me. So I'm going to go into replaying that August 2015 show. Like I said, there may be candidate names mentioned that are no longer, they've already dropped off the table, but I will replay that for you in one moment. I just want to mention really quickly, on March 11, which is next Friday, the movie The Young Messiah is set to be released, The Young Messiah. It's a faith-based film, and The Young Messiah is adapted from a book titled Christ the Lord that has been a bestseller, authored by Anne Rice. The movie is a fictional story narrated from the perspective of Jesus' childhood. The producer is Chris Columbus, and you may know his work from movies like The Gremlins, The Night at the Museum, and Home Alone. Now, someone from this production team will be on Debt Free Wealth Radio sometime next week, to share more. And I'm truly encouraging Christians to go out in support of this film, The Young Messiah, and let Hollywood know that we support faith-based content. Now, I haven't seen the movie yet. I have no idea what angle it's coming from, but regardless, it has got to be better than some of the secular stuff coming out, with the violence and the filthy language and so forth. So I'm asking you to support this film so that Hollywood will keep allowing faith-based shows to be produced. So definitely look out for that show, and I will definitely post notices of that coming up. But it should be around the time of the launch, and the movie is set to launch next Friday, March 11, 2016. So now let me roll into the replay of the show, Can Trump Make America Great Again? This is take two. Can Donald Trump make America great again? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Thank you for tuning in to Debt Free Wealth Radio. Trudy Behrman here. We're going to be talking about all things money. And today the topic is, can Donald Trump make America great again? Now, I have a panel on with me, which is a little takeaway from how I normally do my show, but I think this topic needed this. Now, just for the record, I'm going to name my panel, and for the record, I want you to also answer one question, which is, are you a registered Republican voter? That is because, as far as I'm concerned, I have all Republicans on with me, and that's for any listener, I want you to understand that that is the framework, because if you're not a registered Republican, you may have a completely different takeaway, but that's just where we're at right now. So the first panelist that I have on with me, Sean Hyman, money and financial contributor to many national TV and other news channels. Sean, are you on?
Yes.
Registered as a Republican voter?
Yes.
Awesome. Now, this doesn't mean we'll vote Republican, guys. This is not what we're saying here. We're just saying we're registered Republican voters. So, when the poll time comes, that's a private deal. But for right now, we're on record as being registered Republican voters. Joe Villanueva, retired legal immigrant from the Philippines who has built a successful business here in the Tampa Bay area. Joe, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Registered Republican?
Since Reagan.
Awesome. Dennis Behrman. Dennis Behrman, he is our wild card. He is my husband, my awesome husband, and he is very opinionated. So he is going to be kind of representing the blue-collar worker here as well, because he has a job. And Dennis, are you on?
Yes, I am. And I will say I am a dismayed registered Republican.
All right. And
Trudy here, your host at Free Wealth Radio, and yes, I am also a registered Republican. What Joe and I also have in common is that we're legal imports to this country, which is important because we will touch a little bit on Donald Trump's position on immigration. So backing up a little bit, let me remind you, the topic today is, can Donald Trump make America great again? Depending on when you're listening to this show, Donald Trump has his hat in for the 2016 presidential election. And amazingly, although he's a huge front runner, last time I checked the records, he was at 32%, the Republican Party as a group is not embracing him as their potential leader at this time. So as we get into this conversation today, there are a couple of things I definitely want us as a panel to look at. Number one is, what does it mean to us when Donald Trump says, make America great again? The other thing I want to look at is the financial markets, and Sean is going to be our main lead on that. Entrepreneurialism and what the future would possibly look like under a Donald Trump as president. Joe's probably going to take the lead on that. And then Dennis will fill in as he sees fit. And again, I will probably chip in a little bit on the immigration thing. So let's start with your take on what you think Donald Trump means when he says, make America great again. And we'll start with Sean.
Yeah, I think it means restoring confidence because right now there's a lack of confidence. And I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, there is a lack of confidence across the board in our politicians and our political system. And they don't see anything getting any better. And so I think Trump is his own man. He is an independent thinker. It's been proven that even when he has views that are contrary to what some think, that are not quite so PC, and they cut him off from funding or business deals, he still doesn't retract his view. So you know that they're solid and that he really believes them. It's also proof that he can't be bought. So I think there's a lot of reasons why people do like Trump. They do think that he can restore confidence in America. He can restore confidence with us in how we deal with other nations, whether it's Iran, China, or others. And I think he can help get the economy on track. So I believe that many of those facets, he's going to help restore confidence across the board for the American public.
Joe?
Yes. As far as entrepreneurial, I would say that we will find out if Donald Trump will leave the business people alone. You know, my take on that is that nobody can help anybody except yourself, okay? And what I hate is that when the government tried to change the laws that will protect others, okay? Sometimes protectionism is counterproductive. You know, I believe in free market. I believe that the free market is not perfect, but it will cure the problems that we have. I don't believe that a president should get in and decide what laws should be taken in regards to business. But I think Trump is smart enough that in order to grow America as the powerhouse again, as an economic powerhouse, he has to let the business people do their thing. That's my take on that.
Dennis?
You know, like Sean said, I think one of the biggest things is the confidence and trust in politicians in general, you know, from Washington down to local officials. Trump came out swinging. You know, he's saying stuff that everybody else is shying away from because they're looking out for their political future. He's not afraid to say it. You know, in my opinion, Trump has no political future. He has a future in the business that he's doing, so he has nothing to lose. Getting America great again, I think Trump's vision is going to be restore jobs to America. You know, he said several times over about, you know, jobs being shipped overseas and the deals we work with, especially China, Mexico. It's hurt. Look at Detroit. You know, Detroit used to be the world leader in automaker, and now it's a foreclosure capital of the world. education system, you know, we're not leaders. The U.S. has made demises as we've watched other countries, you know, grow in various areas. The military needs to be strong. We need to have a strong enough military to where Putin won't go into the Ukraine because he knows that we're going to send troops over there and we're going to stop him. Negotiation. You cannot negotiate a deal and have the other guy sitting at the other table tell you everything that's in the deal. That's not negotiation. That's just an agreement. So I think it's just a lot of things. Just building back America, the confidence, in coming here and having an opportunity. You know, there's still opportunities in America, but not the way it was before. You know, free up the regulations on small businesses so that there can be more entrepreneurs. You know, I'm not an economist. I'm sure there's some things that have to be done, you know, as far as tax regulations and whatnot, that nobody can figure out the tax code. You know, streamline that. You know, so some of his proposals, they just hit with the common person saying, my God, that makes sense. How come nobody's presented that in the past? Well, because they're looking out for their political future. They're looking to see where the lobbyist money's coming in. And Trump doesn't fit the mold. And I think that's one of the great things about him.
And on the
I agree with that.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. I agree with that, Dennis. I'd like to add that America is going into protectionism, meaning that they will prevent the free market to do its job. And that's that's what I'm concerned about. But I think I believe Trump is smart enough to figure that out.
Okay, and then on my end, as an import, a legal import into this country, I definitely, you know, sitting back in Jamaica where I'm originally from, looked on over and saw that America really seemed to be the land of opportunity. Today, I don't think America is the land of opportunity. It is a land of opportunity. And I see many people choosing just as easily if they can get into Canada, to Europe, to Australia, to other countries where, you know, the system is willing to allow them and is allowing them to also explore their freedoms. So America is a land of opportunity, but I don't think it still carries the same image and iconism of what it used to be. And a lot of people have come here and not made it now. Not in the past, but in more recent times. There's a lot of imports that are in the poverty zone, making up a bigger chunk of those in poverty than those Americans who were originally in poverty. The numbers of people in poverty include a high number of immigrants who have come here. So they've come here and not necessarily found the opportunity they thought they were looking for. Certainly, all those people coming across the Mexican border in big numbers as they are, I can't see how we're going to absorb them all. So that's my take on that. So I want to go into the financial markets because China has just been so nice to offer us this great fodder for today's conversation. They just recently had a fall in their markets. It had a massive ripple effect into ours yesterday. So Sean is on, and I want to have him kind of say how he thinks of Donald Trump as president would make, how he would impact the financial markets and the future of the financial markets, or what he thinks the future of the financial markets could look like under a Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, Trump is business through and through. He's not a politician first and then a businessman second. And matter of fact, a lot of them are just politicians to begin with, and that is their business. And, you know, if you look back historically at the beginning of our country, I mean, our politicians were businessmen first, and they went and served a period of time for their country, and then they went back to their business. And I believe that's what you'd see Trump do. But they knew how business really worked. They knew what made money go around the globe. And how the economy worked, and a lot of our politicians today do not have that understanding, and they're just easily bought, so they're more or less puppets. Whereas Trump would not be that; he would be his own man, and he would stick with his own opinions, whether even if it cost him. I mean, we've seen even in these first that wasn't as politically correct as some companies liked, they pulled their support for him, And what did he do? He stuck with his views. He didn't worship the money. And so that's a nice change that people aren't used to, and that was a pleasant surprise, and I think that's a standout in people's minds. And so he won't be able to be bought. He's a billionaire already, and so I think that you know, it'll be very good for confidence. I believe that he'll be a very good leader, a very good negotiator for the United States when it comes to China, Iran, or any others. And I believe he'll be good for jobs in the financial markets, because he won't have things overly regulated. There will be, you know, sufficient regulation to keep away from, you know, fraud and some of the craziness, but enough deregulation to make it to where business entrepreneurs can flourish and grow, because that's where a lot of your job growth is going to come from. It's not from the big business, but it's from the small business world, which is where most people work in the first place.
And what I particularly like, Sean, is that, I mean, you know, China, what they're doing over there, it's amazing to me that it affects us over here, but it affected us mostly in our financial markets. I mean, if something's happening in China and it may show up in our grocery shelves or our retail stores, that's going to come down the line. But something happened in China 2 days ago, and yesterday, 24 hours later, it was impacting our markets. So, you know, this is really huge to me, that international global impact, and that's why I was very interested, because Trump came right out the very next day and said, here's the way to deal with all this is vote for me. So I think Trump is already staging himself, positioning himself as an answer to the financial markets. That's how I saw that. Would you agree?
Yeah, and also on China, you know, China has not figured out their stock markets yet. China's stock market is largely made up of individuals, not institutions, and that's a bad thing. And the reason why it's a bad thing is because, you know, individuals tend to be more novices, more immature, more easily scared out of positions, things of that sort, whereas institutions are investing for people's retirements, and they're thinking 5, 10, and 20 years down the road, and when they make very calculated, well-informed decisions on companies, and they stick with them through ripples and gyrations in the market. So it provides a big element of stability. China's also far over-leveraging their market and allowing individuals to take on insane amounts of leverage as well. So there's it's a novice market. It's huge speculation, and it's come home to hurt them over the last couple of days. But even before that, I mean, if you remember, this is actually wave two of the Chinese bubble popping. And so there's probably more of that to come, but all that does have a ripple effect on us here, because it affects the confidence in financial markets all over the world. When you see one major market turn, you see others turn as well.
And they don't tend to play nice as a rule, and even their forex and their foreign exchange currency market is also, they don't play under the same rules as the rest of us. So I found that very interesting. Now, you did mention that Donald Trump for president would definitely, you saw it as impacting entrepreneurialism at one level. I want to say, if Joe would also speak to the topic of, and you kind of said it already, Joe, to some degree, that you didn't think he would, you know, put too much pressure on business people. But, you know, what do you see as the future of small business and business growth? Because, I mean, the goal of any small business, at least for me, is not to stay small. So what do you see as the future of capitalism and entrepreneurialism and profit? And Sean and Dennis, feel free to chip in, but I want to hear Joe's position. Capitalism, entrepreneurialism, and profit under a Donald Trump as president.
I think it would help a lot because he's, like I said, he's probably the first person that ran for president that have knowledge about business, how business works. As far as entrepreneur, we come from all over. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you understand business, if you understand how money works, you understand how to save for the future, you know, it doesn't really matter. Business has no nationality, but it seems like to me like the Chinese has mastered that in a few centuries already. They had a lot of practice on it. In my own country, in the Philippines, they dominate the economic industry, all the retail business and the wholesale businesses, you know, dominated by Chinese capital. So, you know, they have a lot of practice with that. America is just starting to develop how to compete with the Chinese. You know, the Chinese will beat you up, you know. One thing I like about Trump is that he's got a killer instinct, you know. He wants to fight fire by fire. You know, he doesn't want to be timid. He knows that Chinese entrepreneur, they will kick your butt. If you compete with them, they will kick your butt, guaranteed. So, you know, I think the future of the business in America will improve with Donald Trump, because he will put the American industry in a competitive mode, meaning that, you know, they can compete. You know, governments should stay away from the lives of the people that knows how to run their business. You know, one thing I hate about, like, the EPA, any government, local or federal, they come into your shop and they tell you how to manage your business. You know, to me, that's nonsense. You should stay away, because we know what works for us. You know, that's my take on it.
On the Chinese thing, they are definitely fierce competitors, and for us lay people, you know, we see it in sports and stuff, especially at the time of the Olympics. At the same time, they are beatable. You know, they don't always win, but they're fierce competitors, and that's all they really, you know, they live for the win. But a lot of countries can, you know, I think America can win. And I'm not scared of, I think Donald Trump's not scared of the Chinese.
Well, the reason for that, I say that because I have some Chinese blood in me, you know.
No, they're fierce competitors, no question about
you know,
it.
I'm Chinese, you know, the Chinese people, they come from all over. You know, there's no country in the world that there's no Chinese.
Right.
You know.
They're buying
up
Jamaica,
I've been to the
by
remote,
the way, Joe. They're buying up
the
Jamaica big time.
Yeah, I've been all over America, and I haven't seen a county yet that don't have a Chinese restaurant.
They're
also or a
buying
Chinese
up a lot
business.
Of the real estate in the market, so they're definitely a force to be reckoned with. But I think Donald Trump knows that, and he's not scared of them, and I think he will give them exactly the fight that they need.
Like Dennis said, we need respect, and in order for us to be respected, we have to know what we're doing. I don't blame the Chinese for devaluating their yuan, their money, their currency. You know, that's part of the game. You know, that's how you beat your competitor. So, you know, I understand that as a business person, because every day when I was in business, I always try to figure out how to beat up my competitor. And business is all about competition, you know. Like I say, I'm a proponent of government staying away from business, because the moment the government gets into the business of people, nothing good will come out of it.
Okay. Anybody want to put their two bits in on that? Otherwise, we'll move to the next topic.
No, I just wanted to say,
go ahead,
Sean.
I was going to say that, you know, I mean, it is the rules of the game that they are devaluing their currencies, and so everybody hops in and does that. But the problem is that the casualty there is the middle class of each of the nations. And so as you devalue your currency, you devalue the middle class's purchasing power, and so there are the bystander in that as well. So it is how the rules are right now, but it's not really how they should be. But I do agree that that's how the game is being played out.
And you know, Trump has been mentioning China for a long time now. You know, we need somebody to go in there and deal with China. He's been mentioning their, you know, manipulation of their currency and how it affects us. You know, China has $1.26 trillion in U.S. debt, and Japan is a close second with $1.22 trillion of debt. And part of the problem that I see, and Sean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Americans are being misled because we've been keeping this inflation, you know, the interest rates down to zero, so we can spark our economy, which I personally have not seen. I've seen prices go up. I've seen jobs, unemployment. The unemployment numbers are a joke because they're not calculating correctly with people that are partially employed and you know, not looking for work. Everybody's saying the economy is doing good. It's starting on the up. I don't see it. They're talking this morning on the news now that, you know, the stock market took that dip yesterday. They don't know what to do because if they raise the interest rates, it's going to affect the American economy. But if they don't raise the interest rates, they've got nowhere else to go when the China bubble hits again, you know, in 6 months or a year. They've got no more manipulation left. They've got nothing left to play with. We're at the end of the road here. And I think it's, you know, almost perfect timing that somebody like Trump, who is a businessman, you know, and trust me, if it's not him, I don't know who it would be, because he is a businessman and not just a politician who's, you know, taking money from lobbyists and, you know, swinging those kind of deals. So you take one of the best businessmen in the United States, and if he's not good enough to fix our economy, we're all in trouble.
And I really appreciate that note too, because you know, if Trump is not the Republican leader, we have probably some good guys, but they are not known to be strong businessmen. So it would be more politics and politics as usual. Maybe a different slant and a different, you know, based on their interest. But the other thing that concerned me was we have a Republican House and they didn't really do very much. So I think politics and politics as usual is not what's going to fix what put us into the mess. I don't see how the way that we got into the mess is also going to offer us the way out. So for me, you know, and there are people who will be listening to the show that may be coming from different angles. You know, on the other side of the table, we still have seasoned politicians being offered forward as well. And I think the general public, I've even seen Democrats willing to vote for putting in their chips with Trump, not because they're Democrat or Republican, but I think they see the value in Trump as a businessman. So, great. So let's go on to the next topic is immigration. He has taken a very strong stand on immigration. And I think he's coming again at it from an entrepreneurial position. I don't think Trump is looking at immigration strictly from, well, these poor people need an opportunity. I think he's looking at America and protecting America as his first and central focus. And I think in looking at what it takes to get America great again, he's looking at the level of the taxing on those that are taxed. And we're being taxed heavily when we have to support this heavy population that of themselves are not contributing to the tax base. And I think that's what he's looking at. So when you look at illegal immigration, and for, you know, like Joe and I who came across legally and we're seeing people hop the fence and come into the system, take income dollars, but not have to be part of the tax-paying economy, that's where I want us to go now. I don't want this to be a sob feel good, ooh, boo-hoo, poor immigrants, they need an opportunity. That's not where I want to go right now. There are the socialistic churches and opportunities that may throw out the feel good, let's take care of the poor and the needy. This is not a poor and needy conversation right now. That is a conversation for another day. This is Debt-Free Wealth Radio. I want to stick to the money. So let's stick to the money from the conversation of immigration, guys. And Sean, if you have something to say on that, I'd like to start with you.
Well, I mean, I don't have a lot to say on immigration. Because I haven't lived in those shoes, you know, been born and bred here the whole time. But I will say that we do have a lot of problems just having an insecure southern border in the U.S. in particular. And I think, you know, a lot of our, you know, drug trafficking and things like that come across the border is a bad deal. But also future terrorism, I think we need to close up that border for the sake of that as well. There are a lot of there's a lot of things that are happening now to where there's a lot of benefits and things that the Obama administration is giving to illegals. And see, the problem is governments aren't Santa Claus. They just don't have money to hand out. That money has to come from somebody. And where does that money come from? It comes from tax receipts. So it comes from the people who do have a job or who do run a business and employ people. And those tax receipts go in from all those working people and the government disperses as they wish. And so you're starting to see a lot of the productive money be handed over to something that is not productive for our nation. So that's my biggest, you know, beef there, is that that just shouldn't be. And everybody should have to come in legally. I mean, you guys came in legally, you know, jumped through the hoops, did it the way you were supposed to, started your own businesses, did well, and America's greater because of it. And so I think legal immigration is just fine. I mean, we're a country of immigrants, but illegal immigration is a huge problem.
Yeah, I agree with Sean on that one 100%, but one thing also I want to add about illegal immigration, the root cause of illegal immigration is not the Mexican. It's the demand. It's people, because they want to have an edge in business. You know, like I said, there's only two ways you can do in business. You raise the prices or you lower the cost of labor. And with the government regulations on the small business, you know, it put burdens on them to compete. So a lot of them will go and hire illegal immigrants to increase their profit. And I don't really put blame on the Mexicans or the other people that comes to this country illegally. You know, the main root cause of the problem is the government. That's why we have illegals here, because I think that's the new third rail of American politics. You know, it used to be Social Security, but we don't hear about Social Security anymore. You know, illegal immigration is what a lot of politicians stay away with, because they understand that 40% of the voting population, I believe, are Hispanics. But we don't get it, because a lot of these 40% Hispanics, they came here legally, you know. And I do believe that if you come here legally, you put the time and the efforts, you will cherish it and you will do good. And you will protect it, not to lose it. Because, you know, even you're an American citizen, you could lose it. You know, that's one thing I like about legal immigration, that weed out all the bad ones, you know. When my parents came here in 1960, they were professionals, you know. During that time, you know, nobody wants to go to the Philippines to recruit labor. You know, they want the doctors, they want the nurses, you know, because there's a need for it. And I think Trump, you know, is smart enough to recognize that illegal immigration, you know, the root cause of the problem is not because of government intervention. That's my take on that.
I want to agree with you on that too, Joe, because he's also had a big issue. He just said he's not eating Oreos anymore. He definitely has a strong focus on America and America entrepreneurialism and America employment. And moving dollars to outside of the United States is something that even he as a businessman, who also may be just as impacted by wanting to lower costs, still has such a love and a focus on making America great again, and see and all the components that need to be here to make America great again. And that is definitely going to be having our people employed, earning a good wage, and sending those jobs overseas and moving money out of America. And even as a businessman who is focused on profit, he still seems to have a problem with that. I mean, that is so refreshing. That is just totally amazing, totally amazing. And the thing about it is that, yes, if we want to cut costs, that's one of the reasons why people take their business overseas, where they can get cheap labor. which may or may not be a humane thing to do under some of those stories we get, but also, you know, it is stripping America. And I think a Trump as president who understands business, who understands what it takes to make profit, will probably put the things in place to ensure that an American corporation is able to make a profit and employ people. That's just what I think. That's just what I think. So those were the topics I had wanted to cover. Go ahead.
You know, I wanna add to that also. Why is it that the Justice Department they don't impose the law? You know, it's illegal to hire illegal immigrants, and there's a big penalty on that. How come I don't hear it? You know, that you know, used to be that, hey, you know, you don't dare hiring an illegal immigrant because the penalty is bad. You know, it will put you out of business. Where's the Justice Department on this thing?
That's a good point. And I think it's because they've all been paid off, turned their eyes away. So
yeah, I guess some of them are you know, put in by politicians. They're appointed. But although there are some that are not appointed, they're elected officials. But you know, all we have to do is to impose the laws that we have in our books about immigration. And I think we should weed out the bad apples. You know, I agree with that 100%, because if we don't, you know, I don't mind having a long wait, which I did. I had to wait 4 years to come here to America after my parents filed the papers for me. I didn't mind that at all. You know, when I got here in America, I said, man, I felt like I just hit the lottery. You know, the sky is the limit. You know, I did. But again, you know, our parents, before we came here, they taught us about Milton Friedman. You know, most of my politics probably is based on Milton Friedman, which is libertarianism. You know, I'm kind of biased in that area right there.
He's probably the best economist out there and the easiest to understand. He speaks a lot of plain English, so if anybody's never heard of him, I would encourage you to Google him.
All right, so I think that...
Trudy, I get to talk about immigration,
yes,
don't I?
Go ahead.
How long is the show? No. There is an unsecured border that is indisputable. You know, last year the flood of immigrants coming in, and we all felt so, you know, heart-sobby because there were children, and then we found out there were MS-13 gang members. But it's been going on for years. It's something that both the Democrats and the Republicans, every time it comes up, we just keep kicking the can down the road. And guess what? The roads, we're at a dead end now. The can's not going any further down the road. Something's got to be done. There are several issues there. You're looking at, okay, what do we do with the existing people that are already here? What do we do to stop those that are trying to come in? Like Sean mentioned, it's not just Mexicans. It's you know, drug traffickers digging tunnels, climbing walls. We've got terrorists, you know, that have been caught coming across the border. So it's open. You know, there is no border, from my understanding, Border Patrol and those agents, they're not even on the border. They're backed up like 50 miles inland. They're doing like detention facilities kind of work. That needs to be changed. You know, Trump's catching flack because, you know, oh, build a wall. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. You're going to make Mexico pay for it. Well, and I was looking up this morning, and these are numbers from 2013. Between Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, we give them $428 million in 2013 in foreign aid. And that didn't include any kind of military aid, just foreign aid for humanitarian reasons. Last July, there was a Texas Republican in the House that tried to pass a law to cut off funding until the illegal immigrants stopped. Well, that never hardly made the news, and yet when Trump says something, all of a sudden it's a big outcry. How can you do that? So nothing's been done in at least the last year since this, you know, this recent influx of immigrants, you know, at least we wouldn't even be talking about this if Trump didn't say it, because the other politicians, they don't want to go here. And why? Because they don't want to lose the Spanish vote. They want the Spanish vote. And as soon as you start talking, you know, immigration, you're going to lose the Spanish vote. And I don't understand that, because not everybody Spanish comes from Mexico. So that sort of throws me for a loop there as well. But what I've seen personally in the construction industry, I've seen illegal Mexicans. I mean, you know, construction, of course. I have seen them get wads of cash on a Friday. They send it back home to run their restaurants and take care of their farm in Mexico. And come Monday morning, they're begging for gas money because they don't have a dime in their pocket. They didn't pay any taxes on that. They get injured on a job, you take them to the hospital, and we gladly take care of them. You know, some they get taken care of better than my insurance pays for me. So it is a big issue. I keep hearing, well, they're doing jobs Americans don't want to do. You're right. I don't want to pick tomatoes. I don't. But guess what? They have migrant worker visas. You know, pay them a fair wage. I'm not saying we got to pay them $20 an hour to pick tomatoes. I mean, if they're willing to come here and work and they want to do it, yes, treat them fairly. I've been to migrant camps in Florida. And whatever salary they pay these people, that's what they charge them in rent to stay at the homes on the migrant camps. So they're basically slaves anyway. Well, that's a whole issue that needs to be looked at. But at least they're here under worker visas, you know, doing something. You know, they didn't come in illegally. But it is an issue. You know, we do need migrant workers. I'm not going to pick tomatoes unless you're going to pay me $25, $30 an hour. That gets into the whole minimum wage fiasco that we're talking about now. The only thing, in my opinion, minimum wage, it's going to raise the price of goods. That's just business. And in my opinion, too, if you start raising minimum wage to $15 an hour, you've basically just given the middle class a pay cut, because I've got to pay more for everything I have to buy now.
Exactly.
But it is an issue. It is an issue. It needs to be addressed. Everybody's been ignoring it. But I don't think you can come out and just this one shot fix all. I think you need to look at it from, okay, what do we do to shut the border off to stop the influx? And now let's look at the people that are here, however you want to go through it. You know, first of all, the ones that are in prison, kick them out of our prisons. I'm tired. We've built more prisons in California than we've built universities. We need to kick them out of here and just let our own people be incarcerated. Send them back home. And the $428 million in aid from 2013, yeah, like Trump said, you come across the border, I just withhold your aid money. How hard is that? So he's got some good points. I mean, Trump has some good points. I think the press is bashing him because they say he's not coming out with details. I don't hear him bashing anybody else who just flies off and says, I've got a great idea to make America great. Well, what's your plan? Nobody's asking that question, but they ask it of Trump. So,
let's go back again to the people that hire illegal aliens, you know. You know, we knock the government also for letting it happen. But look at the responsibility of the people that hires illegal aliens. I mean, they broke the law.
Yeah.
You know? In my opinion, if you hire an illegal alien in your company, you're taking a chance. But again, they know that the Justice Department and the Immigration Department is not going to touch them. So, you know, illegal immigration is here to stay. It's not going to go anywhere at all. Even if you put a 20-foot wall or you put anything you want, for as long as the government will allow it,
exactly.
The Justice Department will not impose penalty. I think, you know, I've never hired an illegal alien for the fact that I'm scared to put my business into a situation where I could lose it, you know?
They can't track who's here even when they come in with, say, a student visa. They don't know where these people are. So, yeah, you're right. We do have laws on the books. It's just not going off topic, but if you look at gun control, we've got plenty of laws on the books for gun control. Guess what, America? The few shooting rampages that you see compared to what happens in, say, Chicago every day, Baltimore every day, those aren't licensed registered guns. Those are stolen guns. So all your laws as far as gun registration and gun ownership, that goes out the window unless you're willing to arrest a guy who's using the things illegally.
Exactly. I'm with you.
You know, and one point on the why the media is so hard on Trump and not so much on the others, you got to remember, too, that the media is run and owned and controlled by just a few billionaires like Rupert Murdoch, to be as just one example. And so those guys are for the ones that are part of the establishment, quote, you know. And that's where the billionaires are funneling their money, so they're distributing their money amongst the establishment Republicans, and he's not a part of that, and so they won't be able to control things like they want to with the Trump in control because he can't be bought and controlled, but these other guys can. And so they're using their media influence. It's one of the reasons why they buy the media, so that they can shape and mold the public opinion and world in the way in which they want. And they're using that clout that they've got through the media to try to hammer Trump, you know, unduly.
That's why he's dominating social media, because they don't have the handle on social media. That's just people pushing information personally. So he's dominating there.
You know, if you look at Trump, and I don't know what his, I guess you would say, annual salary is, but you look at a typical, you know, congressman, senator, what is their salary? Something into like $150,000 a year range. They're getting money from somewhere, and that's coming from lobbyists and the backdoor deals. And yeah, Trump doesn't need that. So he'll just shut the door.
That's for life. That's for life.
Yeah, but Trump's not afraid to. Trump is not politically correct. And I enjoy that.
I don't
want
him politically correct at all. I don't want him, because the moment you become a politically correct, then you're part of the bad system.
No, when I watched the first debate, the one thing that was really clear was Trump came out there, and I don't care what question you asked, he spoke what was on his mind. He spoke what was in his heart. The rest of those guys, they had the canned, prepared speeches that you're going to hear the same thing on every soundbite from now until Election Day.
Yep, and he's got the killer instinct, you know. One thing I like about it, I followed Trump for a while now, maybe more than 20 years. You know, I've read his books. I like the way he does things. I always like to read people that are successful. But, you know, I've known Trump. That's why when he announced his candidacy, I told my wife right away, I said, that's it. No more ifs or buts about it. We're going for Trump. You know?
One of the things so I like
that
is, we need to wrap this up, guys, but I had a post on my social media page, and I'll try and put it in the link here somewhere. Oprah, many, many, many years ago, had interviewed Trump, and you know, based on the questions she asked and the answers he gave, she declared him to be sounding presidential. And amazingly, some of the very things that came up in that conversation are the things he's still saying today. He's not, you know, coming up with these things just to, you know, fan out the media and you know, be appealing in a certain way. He is the same Trump that he's always been, standing for the same things. He's really, you know, he knows himself, he knows his position, and he's not going to, you know, veer away from it very easily, and certainly not just to be politically correct. So, all right, guys, in a nutshell, just give us a wrap up on this. So, do you think, and we'll start with Sean, that Donald Trump can make America great again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got to lead first by example and by what you've done. If you can't, if I'm going to be somebody's personal trainer, I better have a good physique. Otherwise, I have no business being their personal trainer. And so he's built himself up. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, he started with his dad's real estate business. He did, but he took it to so many different levels, more so than his dad ever did. Today, he brings in $400 million a year in his income off of his investments. And so he has proven himself to be able to work with all kinds of people and pull deals together and make things happen. So I believe that he can make America great again.
Joe, you think he can make America great again?
Yes, he can make America great again because he's got a killer instinct. You know, if Barack Obama has a killer instinct, I think this guy is like 10 times Barack Obama. He'll kick your butt. You know, I think I'm so sick about our politicians, especially the Republicans, that we voted in the last major election. Now that we have the majority in Congress, what did he do? He didn't do nothing.
Yeah, which is something we didn't even really talk about, the fact that the Republicans aren't embracing him. I meant to do that, so thank you for saying that, Joe.
I cannot blame Democrats. I cannot blame Democrats at all because, you know, we know what Democrats are, okay? So, you know, what I'm really sick and tired about is our people, our Republican Party. Our Republican Party is just, to me, this will be the last time I will vote. And I will probably put my voting card on fire after Trump. I don't trust nobody now. I don't trust Marco Rubio, all those people and stuff. They're just talkers, you know. I don't trust them.
Well, before I get your comment, Dennis, I want to say when Ron Paul had his ticket in, the Republican Party completely dissed him. They decided as a party that they did not want this rogue who was under the Republican ticket to play fairly. And they decided as a group to boycott him. They left him out. I was part of the Ron Paul group, and they totally wiped him out just as a party. And because they successfully did that with Ron Paul, I think they're thinking they can probably do that again with Trump. But he is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm sorry I didn't open that up to the floor because I really want to wrap this up right now. But Dennis, throw your bits in. Do you think Donald Trump can make America great again?
Yes, because of his business background, his intestinal fortitude, he has stuff that other people don't have in politics. The other thing I like about him, too, is, and he hasn't said it, but I know he will, his entire cabinet and staff is going to be made of the best of the best. It's going to be the cream of the crop. It's not going to be the friends club, and then you're afraid to get rid of them when something goes awry. I have a feeling he's going to hold everybody accountable. And what I really would like to see is, whether it's a Democrat, House and Senate, or Republican, it doesn't matter. I have a feeling that if something doesn't get passed that Trump said he wanted done, he's going to call them out. You're going to see it on national news why stuff wasn't done. And the media and the GOP, man, guys, you better start taking this seriously because Trump's not going away. And I think if they don't take it seriously, they're going to be looking like fools in the long run.
I think the show he did, I don't remember the name, The Apprentice, where he, you know, took the best of the best, and there was a filter system for that, and then he had them go through a series of tests, and then he, whether he liked them or not, he said, you're fired, with no problem. I think you're right on that, Dennis. He'll probably take the same strategy and approach. I think, you know, we have a bunch of politicians as our options, seasoned politicians as our options, and I'm not saying, you know, some of them don't look good at some level in the Republican group. Ben Carson's another one who's not a true seasoned politician. But at the same time, I like him. I have a problem with his vaccination policy, but that's a story for another day. I think of the lot, he is the only one that if he can't do it, I don't know if anybody can. So I'm going to say that I think our only hope is that we have a Trump as a president and that he can make America great again. So, all right, guys, thank you so much. We had some tech issues at the front of the show. I'm going to edit this out. And thank you all for tuning in to Debt Free Wealth Radio. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Sean Hyman, Joe Villanueva, my husband, Dennis Behrman, for being a part of the panel today. Can Trump make America great again? We had our discussion. There's no definitive conclusion for the public. We have our own personal contributions to this conversation. It was a conversation starter for you, the public, to start thinking and hearing what registered Republicans are saying because, you know, at the end of the day, we may or may not vote you know, along party lines. Who knows? Because if Trump goes rogue, who knows what we'll all do at the end of the day. But that's the story for another day. So thank you all for joining in. And super simple to find it.